One of the first TV celebrity chefs was Graham Kerr. His show was called The Galloping Gourmet. At the start of the episode, he would leap over a chair.
Made it. Thank you so much.
Now, I confess that I missed him at the height of his stardom. His show ran from 1969 to 1971. But when I started watching him on YouTube, I found myself weirdly captivated.
Now you just take this steak.
His persona is just so charming and easygoing and joyful.
Oh, boy. Honestly, apart from my wife, nothing appeals to me as much as that.
His producer on the show was actually his wife, Trina. That chair thing, it was her idea.
Let's have you jumping over a chair, and let's have you carrying a glass of wine. And he said, it's got to go everywhere. We'll fix it. So we put saran wrap over the top of it.
Trina was always there behind the scenes, through ups and through downs. We sent sound effects Posey Gruner to learn more.
Graham Kerr lives in Mount Vernon, Washington, in the home he once shared with his wife, Trina.
This is the two of us when we were 70, with our fingers and all interlaced, which we like to do. This was on our boat.
They met when they were kids, in 1945, and he fell for her at a strawberries and cream badminton party.
I took a wild swipe at a shuttlecock, and it went into a huge rhododendron bush, and it got lost. And so Trina and I went diving into this tree. We did eventually find it, but our hands touched in that cool English afternoon, all dressed in white, you know, with strawberries and cream. It doesn't get more British than that, does it? But when our hands touched, I really knew then that this pretty little girl was a girl.
He fell hard. But then Trina moved away. A decade passed.
And then, I was in the army and I was in bed with rubella. I was reading a tabloid. And there, opened the page and there was Trina.
Pretty young Trina Van Dorn won the proud title Miss Jersey Battle of Flowers this year.
Trina had won a beauty pageant in the Channel Islands, and she was having great success in the local theater. Graham very much wanted to be in touch.
I wrote to the Daily Mirror and said, this is my first girlfriend. Can you get me in? And they did.
They corresponded, and Trina agreed to meet. The moment he saw her, he fell for her all over again. But he didn't know how she felt.
I took Trina for a walk the next morning, and we came to a cattle crossing, and it was very muddy and wet. And I said very graciously, can I carry you across this? It looks a bit muddy and stuff. And she said, well, okay. So I swept her up in my arms. That was the first time I got a hold of her. And strode out across this cattle crossing and went up to my knee in a mixture of mud and manure, just unable to take another step. And so I'm holding on tight and her face is very close to mine. And she said, so what do we do now? And I said, well, would you marry me? And she said, of course, you know, and we kissed for the first time right there.
Even though she'd agreed to marry him, he had one more request.
And I said, well, you know, if you go on with the theater like you're capable of doing and become a movie star, I don't think I've got what it takes.
Graham admits that this sounds very out of date, but this was the 1950s. And he felt he couldn't handle being married to a woman who lived for her audience.
So I'm going to have to ask you, if we're going to marry, could you give it up? And she looked at me and she said, of course. It's the same word that she said when I asked her to marry her. So, that brings tears to my eyes.
They married soon after. Within a year, they had their first child. A few years later, Kerr was recruited into the New Zealand Air Force, where he became the chief catering advisor. And that's how, by chance, he ended up on one of the country's very first TV programs.
The Air Force were asked whether they would provide an officer to do something on television when it started. So I went under orders, and I cooked an omelette, And it was written up as the best live show to date, which was not hard. It was so new. There was only 50 television sets in the whole country at that stage. Anyway, that morphed into having my own show. And I was placed between Peyton Place and the Avengers. And Trina's watching me do a program, and she screams. She said, "You are the most unutterably boring man in the entire world, and you need to do something about it." I said, "Okay, so you're so clever. Why don't you produce the show?" "All right, I will."
She took charge of production right away. Everything she knew intuitively, Graham says, she poured into him, and it worked. The New Zealand show was successful. Then, Kerr made a second show in Australia, and that was a hit. Graham was a star. Meanwhile, back in New Zealand, Trina's star was also rising.
She now had been given the lead role in Oh, What a Lovely War. And I was really nervous about that because it seemed like here was the grease paint again and here was the roar of the cloud, and she was delighted and delightful in the part. And for me, it was, I had...
He couldn't handle it.
So I let her down and was unfaithful, stupid. When you love somebody as much as I love Trina, to fail them so absolutely, just because you think that they may be getting back into something that you can't handle, is so damn self-serving. And anyway, so long and short of it is, she finds out about this, and I'm asking forgiveness, and she can't do that.
Still, they had children, a marriage, and a career to manage.
So we then enter into 9 incredible years in which she is doing everything she can to help me to be successful, except being able to love me and forgive me.
These were the years at the height of Kerr's fame. After his success in Australia, they leapt into Canada. And there, Trina produced his most famous show, The Galloping Gourmet. On TV, they looked like a wonderful couple who were living out the best years of their lives. Graham Kerr was famous. Trina Kerr was nominated for 2 Emmys for her work on the show. But their relationship was broken. Graham had once feared being cast in the shadow of Trina's fame. But in the end, it was Trina who got lost. Trina wrote a poem about it. Later in life, she recorded it and set it to music.
Shadows are different. They seldom are warm. Some are quite chilly, unpleasant, forlorn. Especially when shadows come from the fame of one who is known to the public by name.
The years passed. The show ended. Trina had a cancer scare. She had surgery and she was in pain.
So she was given opioids. Hello? More opioids from the local doctors, more Mogadon to help her go to sleep, Benzedrine to get her up in the morning. And then, because there was an underlying issue of unforgiveness, that was hurting perhaps more than anything. And for that, it was antidepressants.
By the mid-70s, Trina was having serious mood swings.
And she would scream and her eyes would fill with blood and her pretty little mouth would get foamy. It was really scary and awful. And I said, you know, I do think that your inability to forgive me and for what I did now 9 years ago is really the source of the major difficulty you're having in your life. And therefore, I think I need to get out of your life. I love you, but I don't think you need me. She went upstairs and said she'd think about it, came down and gave me a poem.
One is half if left or leaves the arms of one whose life is stressed.
The poem ends, I prefer to be
complete and walk with you along the street toward the other half of itself, to learn with you, to help, to understand the way we lost ourselves. We have the right to right the wrongs to each we've made.
No one alone is wrong.
No one alone is right.
And no one alone is right.
In marriage, we are one.
But love is ours, not flight.
Not flight.
Still touches me the way that it did at the time. I realized that this was not over. I didn't know how we would get to unforgiveness, but I knew that it was possible.
A month later, their life took a sharp turn. A maid they employed had been praying for Trina. In fact, her whole church had been praying for Trina for 3 whole months.
And in the last month, they'd been fasting and praying 24 hours a day.
One day, that maid came to Trina with a suggestion.
Mrs. Kerr, why don't you give your problems to God? And Trina said, all right, God, if you're so bloody clever, you deal with me because I can't.
So Trina went to get baptized, just to see if it would do some good. And then something unexpected happened.
She catches a vision of a man standing gloriously, radiantly in front of her, who smiles at her in a really, really accepting way, reaches out and touches her heart. And she went back that night and she took every pill she had and she put them right down the drain. And every physician I've spoken to said, you just can't do that. She would have gone into a coma. And she didn't. She had a great night's sleep, got out of bed the next day, and she just shouted out, I've got it. Whatever you get when I did what I did yesterday, I've got it.
Graham had no idea. He had been away on a trip, and he came home 5 days later.
Dropped my bag at the door, which I normally did, and she walked towards me peacefully. And she put her arms around my neck. And she put her cheek against mine. Just held me. She didn't say, I forgive you. She just did. I am a grateful man.
That was the beginning of more than 30 wonderful years together. Trina brought Graham to Christianity, too. Over time, Graham appeared in public less and less, and his star began to dim. But, Graham says, Trina's never did. Even on a private stage, she was as luminous as ever.
Everybody who met us seemed to gravitate to her. I know it sounds odd, but I became the sort of the background for her.
Trina died in 2015, just 5 days before their 60th wedding anniversary. Sometimes he imagines how she must look in heaven. He thinks it might be something like the way she looks in a favorite photo. In this picture, Trina is swimming.
And as you can see, she's got a big smile on her face and she's so free. And I feel this is her now, in this kind of freedom.
He keeps the photo just outside his kitchen, where he can see her every day until they meet again.
That story from sound effects, Posey Gruner.